These verses that you mentioned that we're going to just read together, there's two verses in Ephesians chapter 3, and they are verses 3 and 4. If you have a Bible, if you could just open to those. I'm sorry, these are not printed on your outline. You guys all have access to a Bible? If it's on your phone, what do you say, brothers? All right.
Yeah, I guess it should have been printed there, but it's not.
It's okay. If it's it's possible that...
Which one?
Ephesians chapter 3.
Yeah, Ephesians...
Chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Like I said, I don't believe that it's found anywhere in the outline. But there's a reason that I'm bringing up these two verses and starting with these two verses, because I want to say something further about them. So, do you all have access to Ephesians?
Why don't we do echo prayer reading? You
okay.
Tell us the verse and we will.
Sounds good. Okay.
That way we don't have to get
so Ephesians 3 and 4. So we'll kind of just echo it. I'll read them to you and you can just follow me. All right. So the verses say this. Ephesians 3 and 4. That by revelation the mystery was made known to me, as I have written previously in brief, by which in reading it you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ.
Amen.
The reason we're bringing up these verses is because we'd just like to take some time to pray over them first. Okay? So, let's start. So I'm just going to say a phrase, and we can just echo. We'll just do it like this first time. I'll just lead us. That by revelation.
That by revelation.
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 The mystery.
The mystery.
The mystery.
The mystery.
That by revelation, the mystery.
That by revelation, the mystery.
Mystery was made known.
Mystery was made known.
Made known.
Made known.
Made known to me.
Made known to me.
To me.
To me.
Made known to me.
Made known to me.
The mystery was made known to me.
The mystery was made known to me.
As I have written previously.
As I have written previously.
Written.
Written.
Previously.
Previously.
In brief.
In brief.
By which in reading it.
By which in reading it.
Written.
Written.
Reading it.
Reading it.
Written.
Written.
Reading it.
Reading it.
Hallelujah, we can read what is written.
Hallelujah, we can read what is written.
By which in reading it.
By which in reading it.
You can perceive.
You can perceive.
My understanding.
My understanding.
Perceive my understanding.
Perceive my understanding.
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 Lord, give us understanding.
Lord, give us understanding.
In the mystery of Christ.
In the mystery of Christ.
In.
In.
The mystery.
The mystery.
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 Mystery of Christ.
Mystery of Christ.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Let me read it one more time.
Amen.
That by revelation, the mystery was made known to me, as I have written previously in brief, by which in reading it, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ.
Amen.
Okay, I really appreciate that there's... All these are here. I brought my own. Preserved. It's there.
Classic series.
So what we're getting into this weekend is we're going to be getting into, like the brother shared, the heart of the divine revelation. And so I'm just going to share a kind of a foreword of the heart of the divine revelation. How many of you have taken human biology or some kind of anatomy and physiology? And no high school biology? None of you yet?
Yeah.
You're juniors and seniors. You haven't had it yet? I know you've had it. probably you're all familiar with what a heart is, right?
Yeah.
If you had to know the difference between the heart and the skin, would you be able to do that?
No.
For sure, you'd be able to do that.
Okay, so we're getting into the heart of the divine revelation. This is the way that these books are listed in the Bible. They are listed as Galatians and then Ephesians. So this is their biblical order. And then Philippians. And then after Philippians, there is Colossians. So these four books together make up a cluster which we can refer to as the heart of the divine revelation. Okay? They're not the skin. Not even the liver. Nor are they the arm. Not the head. They're the heart. The heart of the divine revelation. Okay? A very important organ, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and we're going to focus on these two. Ephesians and Galatians. Okay, so we'll be going through those. And these two will go through this conference. A year from now, we will go through these two. Okay, so next spring we'll be going through these two. And regarding these four books, I just want to point out that each of them has a small number of chapters. Six chapters, four chapters, four chapters, four chapters. These are 20 chapters that I encourage you all to read multiple times.
Yeah.
Okay? Multiple times. If you ever want to reread a part of the Bible, this is a great place just to go through it. 20 chapters, 6, 6, 4, and 4, over and over and over again. This is not the wrapper of the Bible. This is not the outer part of the Bible. This is the heart. If you want to be clear about God's eternal purpose, these four books will help you to be clear about that. These four books will change your life.
Yeah.
These four books will revolutionize you. These four books will give you more vision of Christ than any four books in the entire Bible. And it's only 20 chapters long. Okay? All right. So, so the four books make up the heart. All right, so let's read Roman numeral 1 together and then all of those subpoints. The heart of the Bible and of the divine revelation consists of and regards A. Galatians, Christ versus religion. Galatians 6:15. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation is what matters. And then B, Ephesians. God's eternal purpose, the church as the body of Christ. This mystery is great, but I speak with regard to Christ and the church. Amen. C, Philippians. The practical experience of Christ. For to me to live is Christ. Amen. Say that verse again. For to me to live is Christ. I know it's going to sound strange, but say for to and then insert your name. Ready? Go. For to rise to live is Christ. Amen. And then Colossians. The all-inclusive Christ as the head of the body. Amen. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he himself might have the first place in all things. Very good. So that's those four books. And there's just a little snippet. A little bit of the subject of each of those books, just a little touch. Well, this is their list in biblical order. I like to list them again, and this is going to be an order of revelation. So when you see something, when you have a revelation of something, you always see the initial part of that something, and then as you gaze
at that something more and more, you see more details. You see more purpose. You see more meaning. And so according to Revelation, I'm gonna list these books this way. I'm going to start with this one. Colossians. Okay. And then I'll move to this one. Galatians. That'll be our next one. And then this one. Philippians. Okay. And then the final one. Ephesians. Okay, so Colossians, Galatians, Philippians, and Ephesians. Why this order? Well, Christ and the church, with these two in between. So, this book right here, brothers and sisters, again, by which in reading it, you can perceive there are more items of Christ in these four chapters of Colossians than there are anywhere else in the Bible. Christ is not revealed like he is in the book of Colossians anywhere else. This book presents a vision of Christ that you can only see in these four chapters with all their supporting verses. Let me just kind of impress you a little bit, these some verses. So Christ is revealed in this book as the all-inclusive one. Okay. So in Colossians we see a vision of Christ. Christ. And the title that we're given in the ministry about this book is Christ is All Inclusive. What does that mean? That Christ is all inclusive. What's included in this Christ? Yes.
The truth of him.
So there's the truth of him, his person, what he is. Thank you. I didn't see him. Okay. So Christ, only in this book do we see that Christ is both the creator and a creature. Okay. Not even the creator and a man, but the creator and a part of the creation.
Amen.
Okay. Let me just read some verses to you using my contraband here. So Colossians chapter 1 uses a really simple word multiple times. And this word helps us to see how all-inclusive Christ is. This word is all. And it shows up a lot in chapter 1. So let me just read a few of these verses. Okay, here it goes. So this is starting from verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation? So we see that he's a creature there, and he's the firstborn of all creation. He's the head of all creation. He is the highest ranking creature. Christ is a creature. Okay? Christ is... He is related to creation.
Amen.
When he became a man and died, he only had to become a man to die for everything. He tasted death on behalf of everything. Mm-hmm. Colossians tells us that he reconciled all things to himself. Mm-hmm. He died as a creature. Let me keep reading. Because in him, all things were created. The things in the heavens, in the heavens and on the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and unto him. Praise the Lord. And he is before all things. There it is again. And listen to this. Okay, if you're a chemistry person or a biology person or a geological sciences person, or you have any interest in any of those things, which I do, it says this: all things cohere in him. All things cohere in him. This word cohere can also be translated subsist. And you can also say this word means are held together, exist together. All things cohere in him. There's a problem that chemists and physicists have with these two particles. Let me draw them for you. They're called protons. Okay? And if you ever study chemistry, which you have to if you go to college, you have to take at least a chemistry course, I think. Okay? You'll find out these are positively charged things in the center of every atom. Okay? Mm-hmm. But what are they doing next to each other? Shouldn't it look like this? They're sitting right next to each other. Shouldn't it be like opposites attracting? Why are two really positive things, two smallest things in all of matter, what are they doing next to each other, positively charged? What's holding them together?
Electrons?
No, electrons are like way out here. Orbiting. Hanging out here.
Neutrons?
What's holding them together? Neutrons are neutrally charged. And they're kind of in there too. They can't buffer that. How are these two positively charged things held together? What's holding them together?
Christ.
Christ! That's it.
You discover.
You know, in physics and chemistry, they refer to this mystery as the thing that holds these together. They just call it the strong force. They don't have much other explanation for it. They just say it's called the strong nuclear force. These things should be separated from one another, but they're held together. Okay? In him, all things cohere. All things are held together. So at the smallest level of creation, where Christ is holding it together.
Amen.
Okay? In him, all things were created. All things cohere in him. Okay. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he himself might have the first place in all things. Christ is all-inclusive. He's all-extensive. Okay? And it says this, I'll end with this verse for Colossians. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, whether the things on the earth or the things in the heavens. Praise the Lord. So Christ is revealed in this book in an all-inclusive and an all-extensive way. The universe is held together by this wonderful, all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We believe in the one in whom the whole universe is held together.
Amen.
He's a wonderful person.
Amen.
He's extensive. He's vast.
Amen.
Colossians reveals this. A vision of Christ. Okay. So we could spend all day on this book, but I got to move on. I got to keep going. Galatians. So, Colossians reveals a vision. All right. What does Galatians reveal? Galatians reveals a contrast. What's a contrast? What is a contrast? It's a contrast. Anybody?
Comparison?
Comparison's telling us, like, there's two things, we got them side by side, and how are they alike? What's a contrast?
How they're different.
Two things side by side, how are they different? That's right. So Galatians takes the book of Colossians and then tells us what Christ is not. Okay? And so let me give you the first couple verses in Galatians, which I believe Ching Shi is going to begin with tomorrow. In Galatians, this is from chapter 1, and this is verses 4 through 6. Okay. So these verses say, and this is referring to Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might rescue us out of the present evil age. Okay, there's the first contrast. So we'll put that up here. The present evil age. Okay, there's the present evil age. Rescue us out of the present evil age. According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Next verse says, I marvel. Paul was shocked. I marvel. It's shocking to me. This is amazing. I don't get it. I marvel that you are so quickly removing from him who has called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. There's the contrast. The different gospel is, there's the present evil age, which presents the different gospel. And then there is him. Okay. So there's him who has called you. I'll write that out. How about that? Him who has called you. Him who, and that should be a capital W, has called you. One of these is a system. The other is a person. This is Galatians. Major contrast. Do you want to be a part of a system? Or do you want a loving relationship with a person? I want to be in love with this person. Okay? Here are some of the contents of this contrast. The present evil age presents to us the law. Okay, there's the law. So the law includes the Ten Commandments, all the ordinances, and all of the ritualistic things that became part of the Jewish religion. The do's, the don'ts, the dietary regulations, the keeping of the Sabbath, etc. The law, okay? This is part of the system. God never intended for his people to be caught up in a system. God wants his people to love him. Okay? So there's the law, and the law is versus Christ. You could also say the grace of Christ. The grace of Christ is the enjoyment of Christ. Mm-hmm. Which do you want to be involved with? Would you like to wake up every morning and see, oh, what do I need to do today? Just have a checklist? Okay. Or would you like to wake up in the morning and say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. Fill me before I do anything. Lord, fill me with yourself.
Amen.
Make me happy. Fill me with grace today.
Amen.
Saturate me. Before I go to school today, fill my mind, fill my thoughts, fill my attitude, fill my being with yourself. Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
The grace of Christ is versus the law. Okay? Another part of the contrast, there's the law, and then there is works. So how do we fulfill the law? Well, we have to work at it. Okay? Works. How do we enjoy the grace of Christ? By faith. By faith. Faith is just believing and receiving. Okay? And then the works are in the flesh. The flesh is the fallen part of our being,
which we try to use to please God. But the Bible says in Romans 8:8, says this, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
Right.
The flesh. This is the part of our being that's fallen. We're born with it. God never intended for us to exercise this part of our being to serve, to love, and to follow him. Okay? So God gave us Christ, which we received by faith, as the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we can receive Christ as the Spirit by faith, or we can be involved with the present evil age, doing the works of the law in our flesh. That's the contrast we see in Galatians. It's a pretty night and day contrast. One more verse. Okay, before I move on from Galatians to Philippians. This is Galatians 3:2. And Galatians 3:2 says this. I'll just start with verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. Paul's really getting after him. He starts the book by saying, I marvel. I don't get it. And now he says, oh, foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly portrayed, crucified. Who has bewitched you? Who taught you to trade in this for this? Who got you to do that? And then he says, this only I wish to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit out of the works of law or through the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? So this is Paul. Paul is trying to help them. These are two different things. Come back to Christ by faith. He's the Spirit. And he ends his whole epistle of Galatians by saying, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit, brothers. Isn't that awesome? So he just kind of caps it off and says, grace, faith, spirit, right? Stay there. Okay, so that's Galatians. So we have Colossians, shows us a vision. And then sometimes, you know, we need a contrast in order for the vision to be clearer. It's easier to see stars at night, the moon at night. We need a contrast, okay? And so that vision, as we try to live by that vision, we'll run into this contrast, okay? All right, then there's the next book. And that is the book of Philippians. Philippians. This is a short, sweet little book. I want to show you how Philippians is different from these other three. So Colossians, Galatians, and Ephesians, they have a similar structure, and it's like this. So the structure of these books is they start out by giving us some kind of vision or some kind of doctrine. And then they go on in the latter part of the book, and they present to us ways we can live according to this. Colossians does this, Galatians does this, and Ephesians does this. Okay? Philippians does not do this. Philippians is unique among these books in that the whole book is about this. It's about the experience. The experience. Okay? So, what is it to experience Christ? What's that feel like? What's it look like? What's the barometer where you can say, you know what? I think I'm experiencing Christ right now. I think this is Christ in me. Praise the Lord. What's the barometer? We sang a hymn that kind of gave a little indicator. This hymn, which we just sang in our time before we started this meeting, if you missed it, I'll just read you the stanza from it.
Was that number 12 or number 6?
I think it was nothing's quite so precious.
Number
12. Is it 12? Okay, thank you. Wow, we've only been here a day and you already got the numbers memorized, man. That's great.
No, it's because I picked it.
Okay. All right. So the song says nothing is quite so precious as Jesus in my spirit. Here's how we know. Here's how we know that we are in the experience. He takes away the care and fills me with his peace. You know what the totality of human life is? It's not peace. All of human life, apart from Christ, runs on a certain gear. Okay? And that gear is called anxiety. So the gear of anxiety drives us. I got to test. I got to study. I got to get to work on time. I got to, you know, perform well at work. I got to whatever, I gotta, whatever. Whatever's next in line, I gotta take care of that. There's consequences if I don't. I gotta keep going. Oh, no. You know, I don't want to fail. I don't want to, you know, be a failure, etc. It's anxiety. How do we know we're in the experience? How do we know? The barometer is?
When we're happy.
We're happy. Enjoying Christ, and we have peace.
Amen.
As opposed to anxiety.
Amen.
Okay? And so Philippians is a book that shares with us this phrase. Paul says, I have learned the secret. Okay? This is the secret. The secret, and this is in verse 4, verses 4:11 and 12. And I'll just give you a larger part of the phrase. Learned the secret. Paul didn't just arrive at this. He learned. He learned the secret. I know how to be content. Whether I'm poor or rich, whether I'm struggling or thriving, Paul said, I know the secret. I've learned. I know how to abound, and I know how to be abased. He knew how to be in any kind of situation. What was the secret? Verse 13 tells us the secret. Does anybody have a Bible? Interested in reading verse 13? Real quickly.
I am able to do all things in Him who empowers me.
Amen. I'm able to do all things in Him who empowers me. So this is a popular verse I've noticed, and I did notice this when I played soccer. This is a popular verse for athletes who are Christians to put on, you know, their shin guards or on the back of their helmet. I'm able to do all things. I can run through this wall. I can, you know, run over this linebacker. I can do all things. That's not what this verse is talking about. Paul was talking about the extremes of human life. He wasn't applying it to superhuman feats. Okay? All things means I'm able to respond to my mother when she asks me a question in Christ. I'm able to respond to my teacher or my friends in Christ. All things means all things. Okay? This isn't a power verse. This is a daily living verse. I'm able to do all things in Him. And that all things, that is in peace. Okay? All right. So that's Philippians. And then finally, how are we doing with time? Let me just check. Okay. Finally, there's the book of Ephesians. Okay? So, what is the book of Ephesians? So we got Colossians, that's a vision. Galatians, a contrast. Philippians, the experience of being in this one. And then Ephesians is the result. It's the result of all of this. So the vision that we see in the Bible is a vision of Christ and the
church.
So the result. What is the result of a group of people who are experiencing Christ?
The church.
That's the church. We need to have our view of the church uplifted.
Amen.
The church is not a collection of people who believe in Christ, not a gathering of people who believe in Christ, just kind of brought together in one place. The church is Christ living again.
Amen.
In us. Amen. Corporately. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the church, and not just the church again as a collection, but the church as the body of Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So that's these four books. A vision, a contrast, the experience, and then the result.
Amen.
The result of the these other three things. as the church, as the body of Christ.
Amen.
This is what we're getting into this year.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're going to spend a lot of time here and here. And so these two books, what they really show us, we could sum it up in two words. These two books show us this: God's intention. God's intention. Okay. So, intention. What's an intention? What's an intention? Say you're goofing around with your friends, and like, I don't know, you're just kind of like wrestling or something. I'll apply this to the brothers. Brothers, you guys don't wrestle, do you? And yes,
a purpose to do something.
Yes, a purpose to do something. So your intention when wrestling was you're just goofing around, but then somebody's got a bloody nose. Was that your intention? No.
Maybe.
And she says, yeah. You see your nose.